Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, March the 21st, an absolutely beautiful day number two of spring here in North Texas. Today, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court. You know, there's some talk about packing the Supreme Court. It's become kind of a favorable thing in the Democrat primary. We're also going to talk about some new evidence, some new data coming out of New York that people in New York just want to move out. I mean, that the quality of life, the cost of living really, is not what people want, and they want to move out. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I do have a quick story here that we're just reading about here in the afternoon. It does appear that ISIS may very well be defeated, finally, that we have finally liberated or defeated the very last holdout of ISIS. And again, you don't want to count your chickens before they're hatched, because when you're dealing with a terrorist organization, they have a lot of ways of spreading themselves all over. So it's not like, you know, a traditional war where you defeat your enemy and they surrender, like World War II or whatever it may be. In this case, you're dealing with a terrorist organization. So just because you defeated them on the ground, it doesn't mean that they're dead or they're not capable of showing up somewhere else. But this is clearly a big day when you think of what ISIS has represented, not just to the United States, but to Europe and the people in that region. What a terrorist organization, how incredibly horrific their actions have been in that part of the world. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. If this is the end, or at least the end of the military portion of this, this is really a big day, I think, for the allies, the different countries who have been fighting ISIS, and a big chunk of that, of course, is the American soldiers. So congratulations, President Trump, everybody in the military, the American soldier, the allies, the other soldiers who are fighting on the ground with us, those who have helped us along the way. I mean, this is a really big day, I think, to see ISIS finally put to rest after everything that they've done over the years. Well, one of the things that you're hearing out of the Democrat primary, it seems that every day somebody's got a new idea. Somebody's got a new radical idea. Part of the problem is that the primary is too early. I mean, look, we're doing campaigning a year before the first primary. So, well, maybe not a year, maybe 10 months. I think the first primary is in January. Well, it's almost a year, I guess. And here we are, you've got candidates running for president way too early. So when you've got, on top of that, you've got a bunch of them who are running for president. So they're all out there looking for money, looking for reasons to get invited to this place or that place. So they have to, in a way, that they have to say something different. You know, they have to say something that makes them different from the other 20 guys and girls. And so they come up with things like, you know, abolishing the Electoral College, which is what Elizabeth Warren has been talking about. And now the latest one is about increasing the size of the Supreme Court. Now, we had an experience with this back in the 1930s when President Roosevelt decided to pack, they call it packing the court, back in the late 30s. What happened back then was that President Roosevelt was frustrated with what was happening in the courts, because they were holding back a lot of his New Deal legislation. They were declaring it unconstitutional and so on. So he decided that he would get back at the court by packing the court, or increasing the number of justices from 9 to whatever number he was proposing. I don't truly remember. And the idea didn't work. In fact, it hurt President Roosevelt significantly. And in the midterm elections of 1938, he took quite a beating. He took quite a beating, losing like 70 seats in the House or something like that. And it was a very bad day for President Roosevelt. And much of the New Deal pretty much died on that day as well, or at least the big New Deal as a way of fixing the Great Depression, because the Great Depression, I think unemployment was still pretty high by the late 1930s. But the bottom line is that it didn't work for President Roosevelt, and I don't think it's going to work for any of these candidates either. The problem with the Democrats is that they keep losing, or they keep, let me rephrase it, they keep looking They keep looking for excuses as to why they lost the 2016 election. First, it was this whole nonsense about Russia interfering with the election and causing people to vote for Trump instead of Hillary. Well, of course that didn't happen. I'm not saying that Russia didn't have a role in trying to play a role in our elections. I don't have a problem with investigating that. But they didn't change any votes. That was never part of the investigation. And then they went into the Electoral College, changing the Electoral College, and now they're into the Supreme Court because they feel that a President Trump, particularly a reelected President Trump, is very likely to nominate one more justice to the Supreme Court, giving the Supreme Court a 6-3 conservative majority, or so they fear. So they're trying to, you know, play games with the Supreme Court and expand the number of justices. It's a bad idea. In other words, the Democrats do not have a Supreme Court problem. They do not have an Electoral College problem. What they have is that a bunch of people in 2016 in many states switched their votes from President Obama in 2012 to President Trump in 2016. In many of these Midwestern states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana was already a Republican, but into Pennsylvania. So you had these states that had voted for President Obama the last time in 2012 switching to President Trump, and that's why she lost. She couldn't get traction in many of those states, so at the end of the day, she lost. And that's what they don't seem to understand. They don't seem to understand that they have to flip. They have to go to these Midwestern voters and say, look, here's a reason you should vote for us and not President Trump. Here's our economic agenda for you. But they're not doing that. They're focusing on all these crazy things like the Electoral College or the Green Plan and all these things that, you know, that's you're not going to get votes in the Midwest, the manufacturing sector in the Midwest, by proposing a Green Deal, because most of the people in the Midwest, or many of them, see in the Green Deal a threat to their manufacturing base. So they're not going to go with you if you're talking about a Green Deal. So again, they just have the wrong message. So it's not the system. We don't need to change the Constitution or the Electoral College or how many justices we have. What we have to do is if you're a Democrat, what you have to do is go out there and come up with an economic program that makes sense to all of those people who switched from Obama to Trump in 16. If you can do that, I think you can be competitive. If you cannot do that, well, you're going to lose again, and President Trump is going to be reelected. It's as simple as that. So forget the Electoral College, forget packing the court, and propose something that people actually believe in. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, it's hard to believe that it was 16 years ago, but it was 16 years ago, this week in 2003, that President Bush made the decision to invade Iraq and, of course, beginning the Iraq War. And, you know, it's just interesting to me how these topics that were so important and so relevant to our politics 16 years ago, nobody's talking about it today. The Iraq War is pretty much over, I guess, as far as people are concerned. And of course, what I was talking before about ISIS, is also very interesting as well. But it was 16 years ago this week that we went into Iraq, what was then called the Iraq War. It was also on this day in 1980, that would make it 39 years ago, if you can believe that, that somebody shot JR in that show Dallas. Some of you may remember that. It was probably the number one show at the time, certainly one of the top two or three. And they shot JR on this day in 1980, and then we didn't find out about it. We didn't, you know, the follow-up show, if you will, was not until November. So for 8 months, 9 months, 8 months, the entire country was speculating as to who shot JR. It was one of the greatest marketing plans that I've ever seen when it comes to television. I mean, they had the whole country for 8 months talking about who shot JR. And I remember all the speculation that it was this person and that person. And, you know, it was just an unbelievable marketing campaign that they had the whole country tuned in when the show finally came back in November. And I think that one show in November had some of the highest ratings in television history. So who shot JR on this day in 1980? And I have to tell you the truth, I don't remember who it was. I think it was that young woman, I believe, but I don't remember who, whether she was or somebody else was. All I know is that the whole country was talking about it that particular summer. Well, we're looking at what is happening in New York. There's a very interesting poll that came out in New York. In fact, there's two of them that have come out here recently where they're saying very significant number of New Yorkers want to move out because the quality of life and the taxes and the cost of living and all of that, and they want to move out. They want to get out of New York. And this comes at the same time that another poll came out about Democrats saying that support for impeachment has dropped significantly among Democrats. And, of course, I see a connection between those two. I see that Democrats are not really interested in impeachment, and they're not interested, I think, in having more and more policies that turn a state like New York into a place that nobody can afford to live in. And the question I have is anybody in the Democrat Party listening to this? Because when you follow the Congress, when you follow the House, and you listen to the leadership, all they're doing is investigating President Trump. Well, that's all they want to do is investigate Trump. When you listen to the Democrat leadership in New York, the Attorney General is on a mission to investigate President Trump. And this is actually citizen Trump, not President Trump. And his family and his businesses and all of that. And you have to ask yourself the question, are any of these Democrats actually listening to the Democrats in their party? Because, as I say, I don't think there's a lot of a lot of interest out there, a lot of appetite out there to investigate Trump more. Now, if there's evidence, if there's something that he did wrong, fine. But what they're looking at in New York is stuff that he did before he became president, so you cannot impeach him over that. And then, of course, the impeachable offense would have to be when he's president, and so far they haven't come up with anything. So my suggestion to the Democrat leadership in New York and the Democrats in general is to listen to what your voters are saying. Support for impeachment is dropping, and many of them want to leave New York, and this is also true of California. Another poll out there, several polls out there confirm that people want to get out. And the reasons are the same: the quality of life, the cost of living, heavy taxation. You know, in New York, I think it was the governor who said that 5% of the people in New York are paying 50% of the taxes. 5% of the people are paying 50% of the taxes. Well, that's an unsustainable system, particularly if that 5% can pick up their money or pick up their business or pick up their bags and move to Florida or move to Texas or Carolina or wherever they're moving to. So if people can leave your state, you're making a big mistake by continuing to depend on the very wealthy to run your state operation. So I wish there was a Democrat running for president who would pick up on this theme and say, you know what, maybe we should be advocating lower taxes and more pro-growth policies and more pro-business policies that actually create jobs and actually encourage businesses to move into my state. I wish there was a Democrat advocating those kinds of policies, or at least a Democrat who was saying, forget about impeachment. Let's talk about doing something that improves the lives of people, like healthcare or the economy or whatever it may be. So I don't hear any Democrat talking that way, and that's why I think they're in the defensive. That's why I don't think they're going to defeat President Trump. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning, Thursday, where I'm talking about political humor. And if you've been following a lot of the humor lately, a lot of the humor is not really humor in the political, in the traditional sense, you know, the Johnny Carson type political humor or David Fry that we grew up listening to. A lot of the humor is, I think, very partisan humor, meaning that it's very much anti-Trump humor. It really is attacks on Trump, very personal attacks on Trump. And I think this is a huge mistake for the comedians, and it's a huge mistake for the networks who are carrying these shows. And you're seeing it with Saturday Night Live. A poll came out saying that 40% of the public thinks that Saturday Night Live is too political. Well, if that many people believe it's political, then they're not really going to watch you, because they're not going to enjoy the humor if it's strictly political. But anyway, That's the way it goes with political humor. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas.